You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and welcome to my show, The Law of Your Attraction. I have been gone for the last couple of weeks. I had a new knee. I was on pain medicine, and I probably would have been a lot of fun had I been on the radio, but I wasn't 100% sure what I would say. So I am back, woohoo, with a vengeance and a new knee. And I'm so excited about our guest today. I met him on the Law of Attraction radio cruise. He was another speaker, and he is up there on stage, and I'm telling you, he was lighting up for me. He was just so much fun. He knew so much. I loved him. We hit it off. He is a chiropractor, and he lives in Palm Springs. He also is a Reiki master. He does a lot of other amazing things, guided imagery practitioner, Law of Attraction mentor. He's been in this genre since before, literally, since before I even knew what it meant. But 20 years ago, he was introduced to Abraham and has been a huge fan of Abraham Hicks since then, and has done a lot to add to the Law of Attraction information. And he's making an announcement today that he's even doing more, that he's going to start teaching and mentoring a lot more than he has, and putting courses out there. So I am so thrilled to have Dr. Robert Elderberg, and he goes by Buzz, so we're going to call him Dr. Buzz. And we will be right back with Dr. Buzz. And we are back with one of my favorite people in the whole world, Dr. Buzz. Welcome, Dr. Buzz. I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be on your show. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, I appreciate your time and the information that you're going to share with my people. And just a quick overview again, Dr. Buzz and I met on the Law of Attraction radio cruise back in April, and he was one of the presenters, and I was blown away. And I will tell you, I think I'm pretty important, and I think I'm pretty knowledgeable, but I was blown away by Dr. Buzz's presentation. I'm huge into marrying science and spirituality and looking at the whole ball of wax. And I know you are too, Dr. Buzz. I think one of your things in your bio is all three of the things, body, mind, and spirit, have to go together to heal. And you've been in the healing arts for a long time.
Long time.
Tell us about your journey in the healing arts. And then I want to get more specific as far as just the actual Law of Attraction and how you got there and some of your amazing insights.
Sure. Well, I started off as a Reiki student, energy work. Uh-huh. I did that for quite a while, and I just kept doing different classes, doing cranial sacral work, body work, myofascial work.
And that is where the muscles or whatever attach to the bones or the tendons or uh-huh.
Yeah. The fascial tissue is between all of the muscles and of the structure. So I did that. And I've been studying Law of Attraction for 20 years. I met Abraham through Esther and Jerry Hicks 20 years ago.
Oh my God, I'm one of the biggest Esther Hicks fans. So yeah, she's my go-to almost every day. So you got involved in that even before The Secret, right?
Yeah, way before The Secret ever came out.
And tell me how you got into that, because that was kind of not mainstream, although you live in California, so you guys are crazy anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's crazy and it's metaphysical, it's always here in California
first. It's always started there. So
it is.
Tell me
it
that.
Is.
So your journey began in what, 2000?
Yeah, somewhere right around there, because I graduated in 2000. So maybe right before that, maybe 98 or something like that.
Wow.
So a friend of mine turned me on to the cassette tapes of Abraham.
Wow.
And it just really was the thing that spoke to me. I understood it. I just lined up with it. It made sense to me. It put a lot of things into perspective for me that just really made sense. So shortly after I started listening, I was in Los Angeles and went to my first Abraham Hicks workshop. Mm-hmm. And it was so phenomenal. There were only like 50 people in the room, and it was Esther and Jerry, and she did her thing. And I just sat there in just total peace and clarity. It was something that spoke so big to my soul. I really got it. So that was my home base.
And I just want to interject. I saw her for the first time in November. So you've been seeing her for 20 years. And it was one of those kismet things. We were going to be in Dallas, and I've been trying to figure out where I could see her and go. And she just happened to be there, and they still had tickets. And it was perfect. And she does give you goosebumps. There is just something when you're live there.
It is.
And I listen to YouTube all the time, but there's just something when you're live there. And I can't imagine, because in 98, well, I had read the Celestine Prophecy. So I had some of it. I had read Conversation
with God. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I mean, those were kind of the early ones, but not anything like channeling.
Right.
Crazy consciousness people named Abraham.
Well, you know, and the great thing about it is you make such a good point. When you're doing something live like that, it's so much more powerful because you're doing it in the moment. It's a total law of attraction classroom when you're doing it live.
Perfect. Yes.
You are involved. Your energy is involved. You are part of the people in the room and of the room, and your higher consciousness is involved. It's just a whole different experience than just listening to something else. You know,
it is, because it's another level. It's not just listening.
It is.
There was an emotional level. There was a spiritual level with everybody in there.
Right.
And I was so amazed, because I've only listened to snippets. You know, they have 15 minutes on YouTube. So you listen to this concept, and I think she kind of tries to keep it to 15 minutes. But, you know, the whole thing flowed. Is like she had everybody lined up, and they were asking the questions they were supposed to ask, and it all flowed. And it was all just, you know, serendipity. I mean, nobody
knew
what
it was. Always that way.
Yeah,
I
love it.
It's always that way. Well, and the great part, what I enjoy is, you know, I've sat in the hot seat several times over the years.
Oh, have you?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, everybody wants to do that once, you know, to have that experience. But it doesn't matter, because your questions are being answered. You know, the answer
is so true.
Everything that is relevant to whoever's participating. And to me, that's just like, that's just synergism at its greatest, you know, between physical and non-physical, and the information we're seeking, and they know where we are, they know what we want, and, you know, and when it's live,
that sounds a little paranoid. They know where you are.
They know where we are.
The big they,
which we're still part of.
I know.
We keep individualizing ourselves, thinking that we're these meat suits, and, you know, and then we're trying to tap into something when it's always available. So it's a more of a choice of allowing that information to come through, and allowing that higher energy and that higher consciousness, you know, universal consciousness to come through, because it's always there. So it's
and
either
I've noticed
us,
that there's not one thing that she has ever said. They have this. I never know what pronoun they, her,
they,
you know,
I say they, okay. I say they.
They have ever said in any category, and she kind of gets into politics sometimes, that they kind of, you know, there's not one thing that has not touched my soul and said, that's correct.
Exactly.
There's others that I think their egos get in the way. I think she's so good about, she steps back and lets them literally channel them through her. She's so authentic.
Right.
There's not one thing that she's ever said that I didn't think was so true. So you started listening. So was that kind of your introduction to Law of Attraction back then?
Well, that was my introduction into understanding why my life went the way it went, you know?
Was that a good thing?
I mean, it was a good,
Okay. Was your life a good thing?
My life has always been a good thing. Been blessed with, you know, just really working the laws. I didn't even know I was doing it because I didn't have the words for it. I've always been the one. It's like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's just do that. You know, regardless of what it is. And I'm really good at putting myself into the allowing mode, meaning I don't have much resistance around stuff, especially when it's a fresh new idea or concept to me. And I love learning stuff. So I'm like that. I'm like that open channel, like really often. And I've always kind of just been that way. I don't know why.
And there's a huge trust there. I mean, you trust new things. So people are so fearful, you know, that it's not going to work out. But if you've got this, and you do, you have this amazing energy. You were up there speaking. I love this guy.
But you
trust it's going to be okay. There's a faith there. Don't you think that's the big
reason
that you can kind of step into it? Because you don't have preconceived notions. You know, let's see where this thing goes. You know, I love that.
Well, you know, typically our human brains say, oh, that'd be really great. Oh, but I can't do that. You know, I mean, the fear thing is always the blocker. It just, and we all do it at some point more than others. But for whatever reason, I guess I just don't have much of a brain. I just trust everything. But it's worked out.
A man who has a doctor of chiropractic, do not say that you don't have much of a brain.
For some things.
Yeah. Okay. So were you practicing chiropractic back then when you were introduced to this?
Or I was actually just in school.
Okay.
For chiropractic, and I've had different careers before then, but I was just in school at that time when I was introduced to them. So as I graduated and understood the biomechanical philosophies of what I needed to know about the human body, I also had that connection to higher intelligence.
God, which that is invaluable. Why can't we all, you know, why can't we all that have that? Why can't we have more professionals out there that understand that connection?
I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness you did it. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, then you got into that because, you were let's do your health thing first, and then I want to come back with the law of attraction. So you became a chiropractor. Okay. You were already a Reiki master at that point in time.
Right. Okay. So I already did all the woo-woo California stuff and the energy work and the crystals and the blah, 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 and did all that. And then I went through nutritional stuff, and I was a Whole Foods guy way back before they were ever a public company.
Right.
And, you know, I just kind of lined it all up that way. And then I went to chiropractic college, got through that, and really I have a huge tool bag of stuff to use for patients. So the great thing about
you're a one-stop shop. You can do everything.
You know
everything.
What? Exactly. Yeah, and it's so much more effective. You know, it's just really super effective when I always line up with my people energetically before they even get in the door, whether I know them or not. I've trained myself to sit in stillness and connect to my higher consciousness, connect to their higher consciousness, and say, we're going to be meeting today. This is, you know, I don't have to say it in all these words because I've been doing it for so long, but just having that connection, as soon as they walk through the door, we're already halfway there. You know, we're already using everything that we have from physical and non-physical to figure out what's going on and where we need to go. So
you know, that is so important for everybody to do. You know, I was an attorney for 40 years. If attorneys could do this, if regular doctors could do this, if anybody could do this, CPA, you could take a big deep breath and quiet your mind and get to a higher state and attach with theirs. I mean, think of the relationships that would get going quicker. Think of the answers that would come sooner. You know, I think it's brilliant.
And that is the biggest point in that is, you know, the answers are always there. And when you allow yourself to be in that space of connectedness, you know, all you have to do is shut down that monkey mind a little bit and you're hearing the answers. It's like, oh, okay, well, I've had experience with that. I know what that's all about. And then having just this energetic connection with somebody else, that's co-creation right there at its best.
So you said you worked with crystals and all that stuff. So, uh-huh. so compare how you feel when you do the Abraham, that kind of energy, and crystals. Are they complementary? Is one better than the other? Because I'm not big into crystals. I'm not getting it. I mean, maybe I'm...
Right, yeah, right. But, well, you know, and I asked Abraham this question many, many years ago. I said, you know, what is the thing, you know, we're always... progressing forward with everything. Everything is evolving, evolving, evolving. And when the crystals came into, like everybody was into crystals mm-hmm. at one point, and the energy of the crystals and what this one means and what that one means.
Right.
Well, that is just a tool for people to focus energy.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so crystals do have energy. They do have specific energy, but it's not so much about that as people putting their attention and their consciousness on something specific in the moment and using that as a vehicle. So that's what that was all about, because I thought the same thing. I thought, well, you know, we already kind of went through that. Why do we still need that? It's like, well, it's a focusing tool. It's nothing more than that. Like everything else that we do in the world, when we have a focusing tool, we're focusing our energy. Focus brings clarity and connection to higher consciousness. And that is, it's just that simple. So
are you a big time proponent of meditation? I mean, that's something that is so important.
I am. Okay. I am big time proponent of meditation.
And what, tell me your meditation, you know,
personally.
To give us some ideas what you think is helpful.
Well, for me personally, because I've been doing this for 1,000 years, you know.
And he doesn't look a day over 200.
I know. I've been doing this for so long. So when I close my eyes, I feel the energy running through my body. I get grounded to the earth. I get connected to universal consciousness, and I can run energy through my body and be connected within 30 seconds because I've been doing this forever. So
when you use that probably in your Reiki and your chiropractor, I mean, you probably do that anyway. So you don't have I get up for 15 minutes, I meditate. It's something that you can access pretty darn quick all the time.
Absolutely. Okay. Because I like things to move fast. I like 20 irons in the fire. I like fast. You know, I like my life to move fast. And I used to sit in meditation for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour sometimes at a time. And that's very, very, very useful. You get to a depth that you can't get if you don't spend the time doing it, you know, over and over.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I've done this for so long that it doesn't take me but, you know, a few seconds or a minute to really be connected. So,
you know, Abraham Hicks says, you know, 15 minutes a day is probably good enough. And
exactly.
That's what I've tried to limit it to. And I know one of the things she says, is that, you know, even if you're only into that space the last 2 or 3 minutes, and I do notice it takes me a while. I'm not, I'm a pretty fast woman, but I can't get into meditation that quick. But you know, even if you can do it for 3 or 4 breaths in and 3 or 4 breaths out, I mean, that's helpful. So, you know, I know one thing she says is it's 15 minutes a day will do it. I tell my people first thing in the morning because it kind of sets the day, kind of sets the chemical reaction in your brain and stuff. So I don't think my listeners have to do it for more than that if they can talk themselves into doing that. And I have them start 2 or 3 minutes at a time, because if you're not used to it, you sit there and you go, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Oh no, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. But that's all natural, you know, that's just a natural process. And people, we love to judge all of that. And that's what we're trying to calm is the judgment of it. So what if I'm sitting here thinking about whatever is going through my head? The idea is you're paying attention and you know that you're thinking. So it's not the thought, it's not what's going through your head, it's catching yourself saying, oh, I'm thinking, and then back to the breath. Oh, I'm thinking, and back to the breath, and
it's staying in the present moment.
It's carving that in there so that we can
stay present.
Absolutely.
And even if we're watching, you know, our monkey mind go crazy, we're present, right? We're at least kind of aware.
Right.
We're that person that steps back, that entity, that higher self that steps back and says, you know, your brain is going crazy, Paula. You know, at least we're aware of that.
Well, and that's the practice. When you are aware of what you're thinking, you are in practice. So it's a good thing. I mean, I remember when I first started, I thought, I can't do this. You know, I'm thinking so many things for too long. And then I lose being in the moment because it takes me to the future, takes me to the past.
Then you worry, you know.
Yeah.
Or plan. I'm a control freak. So let me plan the future. Let me plan this future. Let me plan that future.
Yeah. And figure out all the hows. And
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't mess with the cursed hows. Yeah.
No, the universe we don't. That's right. That's not our job. But somebody explained this to me many decades ago that you're doing it exactly right for you when you're paying attention and you know that you're thinking the thoughts and you're seeing yourself thinking the thoughts, you're actually in meditation.
Yeah. Because
it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Our brains are set up this way. It's those subconscious thoughts that continuously come through our heads. We think tens of thousands of thoughts a day, and you're not going to stop that. You're going to sit back and you're going to pay attention to not what you're thinking, but that you are thinking. And when you get to that place, then all of a sudden the thoughts start becoming less. And then you're
because you kind of have control over your brain. Because the present moment is the only time we can do anything. The only time we can think a thought or take an action or be on a frequency or, you know, attached to source. And it just gives us that added experience or practice to be able to do it at least for a few split seconds a day. I mean, that changes everything.
So,
you know, I use the mala beads just because it's helpful because you've got something to hold on to and then you go to the next one. And it really makes me, I do them both, but it really makes me focus. You know, when I do the mala beads, my mantra is alignment with source, which is directly from Abraham, because nothing else matters, right? If we're aligned with source, everything else just flows.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I think mala beads are good for those of you there. You can get them on Amazon. They're $10. Speaking of crystals, they have them on all different kinds of
crystals. Balls.
Yeah, the little ones have all different kinds, and you know they tell you which ones work. I don't know which one does, but they're fun and they keep you focused because you're paying attention, you're feeling it, you know, as well as saying it as well. So
yeah, that's a really good idea. I'm glad you brought that up. I never thought of it that way, but that totally makes sense.
Yeah, because it really you stay focused and you have a beginning and an end, because I think there's 108 beads. It's a Hindu thing and I used to know what it was, but you know you're gonna get to the end. There's a little special charm. So you start there and you end there. So you don't have to watch the clock. You don't have to set a clock.
Right.
You know there's an ending. So you kind of stay in the moment and don't have to worry about it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm going to try that one day.
You try that. Yeah. You try that. So let's go back to, so you've been a practicing chiropractor. You are in Palm Springs right now?
I'm in Palm Springs, California.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to after Abraham Hicks. Is that kind of your whole law of attraction study, is following them? Did you spread out and study anybody else? I mean, I don't think you need to, because she's definitely my all-time favorite.
Right. Well, you know, I am a searcher and I've studied all of them. I went through all of them. The Course of Miracles, we went all through that, the Celestine Prophecy. And then I went to Science of Mind for a while because
Ernest Holmes.
And they have amazing material, but.
And it's hard, man. What am I reading? Thomas Troward. Oh my God, I'm sitting there. What is he saying?
Yeah, the Edinburgh lectures.
I'm pretty smart, huh?
You're super smart. Yeah,
I think it's kind of.
Well, the Edinburgh lectures.
I've got the whole entire volume. You know.
Yeah. I was just reading that yesterday.
Very last one that they published it actually after he died. It's not one of his essays, which is so intricate, but it's one of the easier ones, but he's amazing. And what's amazing is this goes back 150, 200 years.
Well, there was a big awakening. There was a big shift in consciousness in the early 1900s. So all of the scientists back then, all of them were looking at quantum physics and relating it to spirituality. So that's where our science and our religion or our spirituality really started coming together in our consciousness. And
so who was Henry David Thoreau's head guy? Because he really started it. God, why can't I think of his name? You know, the big time philosopher.
I can't remember.
I can't either. Anyway, so they all kind of started it back then, the thought movement, the new thought movement, right? That's kind
Right. Uh-huh. In our modern times, it's always been there, you know.
I love that. Yeah.
Every culture.
Back to the ancient sages, right.
Yep. You know, we always have these resurgences. And
I think it's amazing that we lost it for thousands. You know, people had it, they understood it. And then, you know, they burned the scrolls of Alexandria. You know, I mean, it's like you get it, you got it. And then all of a sudden it goes away to cultures and whole societies. And now we've got it back and we need to appreciate it so much. We need to, I love the fact that you said you're a seeker. We need to grasp it. We need to start understanding and internalizing it and sharing it, because it's something we don't want it to go away again. Don't you think we're really close to some kind of a new consciousness shift? Do you feel that? Because since you've been involved in this for 1,000 years.
I do.
Oh, good. Tell me about that. Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing about that that's fascinating to me is we are always on what Abraham would call the leading edge, meaning when we are really connected to higher consciousness and to all the information out there in higher consciousness, which is everything, we allow what's happening right now in the moment to be our leading edge of thought. So brand new thinking. So when you're putting the questions out there, the information's coming in. You were putting the questions out there from right now. So today's question is different from the question of yesterday, from the question of last week, of last year, of last decade.
So the answers are different because source is expanded, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Although our questions are different, so are answers. So our answers are different than 200 years ago because we have decided to show up. We have decided to contribute, which we all need to be patting ourselves on the back because, you know, that's a toughie coming down here. And
But, well, and the other part of that, which is which is really important, is, you know, when we sit and we question, the answers come through, but it's not like the universe has the answers. We're creating the answers with the universe. The universe is getting the answer at the same time we are. That's co-creation. So there's nothing set out there in the universe on this leading edge of thought that's already preconceived. We are creating it now. We're creating the questions, and the answers are coming through with co-creation with the universe.
Well, you know, the Akashic Record says, the Hindu philosophy, that everything that's ever been thought or ever is going to be thought is in this ether. I know that scientists don't like to use that, and you are scientists, but, you know, the zero point field, the divine matrix, the matrix, that it's already there. And, you know, Tesla, Einstein, Edison, they all said they quieted their mind, they attached to this higher self, and the answers. You know, Steve Jobs said that the iPhone just appeared to him in a meditation.
Right.
And that their brains were able to access,
Exactly. But what that means is the answers are there. The potential for the answer is there.
I love that. Yeah.
It's not that the answers are there. The potential for you to co-create the answer is there, because we get to create whatever we want. So if everything was already thought and said and done, and it's already in this Akashic Record, what they're really saying is the potentiality to the new answer is there out there.
I love
which
that.
Which is
okay,
different
so, you know,
than the answer being there.
And you know, the iPhone has been floating around and this whole thing, or how they do it forever. You and I didn't access it because we didn't have the information that co-creates with the universe.
Exactly.
But the people that had that basic foundation information can use that to co-create with the universe.
And,
and we've had to, for hundreds, thousands of years, we're learning on our past ancestors' information. So what we know now is so much more, so we can access different things than they were able to access.
Right. Because the universe is always expanding. So our consciousness is always expanding. So everything is always an expansion. We never have to go back. You know, we never have to, unless you really want to take a look and it helps you focus on what you're looking for now.
Well, so, I love what Abraham says is you can never get it wrong because you can never get it done.
Right.
Because we're always doing something. And once again, the pronouns, but they are such optimists. They're optimists that the earth is going to be fine, that we're not worried about climate change, and we can't focus on that because what we put our attention to grows.
Right.
We need to be focused on the solutions, on that teenage boy that figured out how to dredge all the stuff out of the oceans and break down plastic. I mean, that's what we need to be putting our energy on, and not the negativity. They are so positive. And I think the law of attraction, okay, so the law of attraction just says you get what you put your focus on, right? So when I say it's optimistic, I guess maybe that's because I'm so optimistic, but it is an optimist. I mean,
right. Well, remember that they're non-physical. So their energy level is from pure bliss and up at all times. Wow. They never drop down into anything below goodness and love.
Like,
you know?
She says, we ain't coming to you.
No.
you got to come to us.
Absolutely.
No. And I love it. Yeah.
We're always here. When you're ready to connect, we're always available. So, of course, they're always optimistic because they see everything.
Right.
You know, and I don't care if it's Abraham or any entity that's non-physical that you want to focus on. They have the vantage point of knowing what's happening on every level energetically and around this world and all the other worlds, if that's where you want to go with it. But, So they're rolling through space time from non-physical, which is a whole different energetic level. So they never come down to doubt or any fear or scarcity. Anger or they don't. Uh-huh. I mean, none of that is there in that place of consciousness. So it can only be nothing but pure bliss.
Right. You know? And how amazing is if we could get close to that, just vibrate close to that.
Right.
We get the pure bliss. Then we get to see the bigger picture. Then we could get to get optimistic ideas, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're down here and poor, pitiful me, and I'm a victim and I can't help it, and all these things happen to me, we're just going to get more of that. That's the law of attraction. But the fact that our higher self is up there with bliss, I love the word bliss. I love follow your bliss. I love Joseph Campbell.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I love all that. So, okay, let's go ahead.
And just one thing about you say, and our higher self is up there. We're still connected to that energy. The bigger part of the energy of who we are as spirit in physical form is still non-physical. You know, people think, well, we come down and we're detached from that non-physical and we're trying to connect again. We're always connected. We're never not connected. It's just whether you're allowing or not. And
that's a big thing. Our little self. Which is our soul, which is wonderful, but all we are is divinity. We can't be anything but divinity because we were made from divinity.
Exactly.
And then we've got this, you know, I see this little tether, this little, you know, that we're always attached to our higher self, which is our individuality. I don't think we ever give that up. Do you?
Never, never.
Yeah.
You can.
And then that's attached to the big guys, the big guys up there.
Well, to everybody else and every non-physical entity else, you know, it's all connected. It's all one, as they say. It's all one, but you still have an individuality to your consciousness when you're in.
And we always will, right?
We'll always know. And that's where we've always been.
So do you see angel guides, spirit guides? Do you talk to dead people?
Yeah, you know... I used to do all that in the beginning because those were my focusing tools. It's like, oh my God, you know, how cool is this? You know, who's my angel guide? You know, I need a name and I need a, you know, what's your personality like?
Yeah.
And
you what's know, your credentials?
Yeah. What are your credentials?
You go to school?
And what do you know? And help me with this test, you know? I definitely went through that whole phase.
So you see this other dimension? You still do that if you want to?
Sure.
Does that scare you?
No. And everybody can. Everybody can. It's not everybody has that opportunity, but that's not where my focus is anymore. So right. I just don't go there because I don't.
So it's available, you know, it's available, but it's nothing that's helping you right now on your journey now. Right. So I know Abraham Hicks, she says, you know, she wanted to see what the collective Abraham looks like. And then she doesn't want to open her eyes, you know, and she opens her eyes, looks like fireflies. But so I'm kind of like that. I go, I want to see what you look like, but I am not opening my eyes. I'm kind of afraid of that other dimension. I probably need to get over that. That's probably a connection I need to make. But that scary? Were you ever afraid when you kind of made that?
Well, sometimes when you do it too fast, it's like a quantum leap and it feels like falling downstairs to me. Uh-huh. You know, have you ever had the falling dream? That energy rush through your body and it snaps you awake.
Yes.
When you take this stuff really quickly and beginners do this a lot because they don't know. You know, they don't have any information and they go there to that place and they can totally allow that energy to come through their body, which is consciousness. So you're channeling. We're all channeling higher consciousness when we're connected. And the beginner gets that rush and that sensation. And that's a scary sensation to our physical body. So we snap out of it. You know, it's like, oh, that feels like death to me. You know, I can't put up with that much energy through my body. So decades ago when I did a lot of that, I would just have to ask for the energy to come in soft and smooth and not in a big way so that I could accommodate to the energy of that coming through.
You know, that's amazing. You're the first person I've ever talked to that gets it. So I took transcendental meditation, which is pretty rigid. And, you know, it was pretty expensive and you had to go through kind of a ritual and you had to do all this stuff. And they gave me my mantra, which the funny thing is I forgot it, which I think is really weird. So for 4 days, you had to do this transcendental meditation with my coach. That's not what they called it. And that's exactly what I felt like. I felt like I was falling off the chair and it made me sick to my stomach. Like I ended up turning off the lights, putting something. I was sick for 2 days, sick. I couldn't do it anymore. And you're right. It was like I was falling down and I hated it.
Yeah.
So I quit doing it, but it was probably because it was too quick, right?
Too quick. Yep, absolutely.
So I need to do it where it's not too quick because I love my other meditation, but then I think maybe I'm not, you know, not getting far enough or not doing it right.
Nope.
Buzz says I'm doing it right, so I'm good.
You're doing it right. And remember this, we're doing this today now. You know, your past experiences, you don't want to go back and try to recreate that because you're way different now. You've been really connected for a lot longer than you were back when you did the transcendental meditation.
It was only 2 years ago, so it really wasn't. Yeah, but I'm still in a different place than I am now, right?
Absolutely. So now that you've had that experience, you can go back to the format of that, and if you want to use the mantra or if you just want to, you know, sit in your breath work, and then just ask, say, you know, I want this to be gentle. I want this to be easy. Whoever energy is coming through, I just want it to be very gentle and easy, and I want to know you're there.
So you were a presenter on our Law of Attraction Radio Cruise. Woohoo! We had a great time.
We did.
It was fun to see everybody. Do you remember the category you were talking about when you were doing that presentation?
I have no idea.
Okay, we talked about this before we start recording. He goes, I'll just make it up. I'll just make it up like I remember.
Well, because
it was science and spirituality, because it hit me, because that's my big thing. I love the fact that there's science. So I know you talked about the science and spirituality.
Right. Okay.
And how you literally married the scientific aspect of body work, the chiropractic work and stuff, with the law of attraction energy.
Okay. You want me to do that again?
What, do you remember it?
No, but it'll be just as good if not better.
It will be because you're in the
it's
moment.
You. Well, and it's you and me, honey. We're
I know, you and me, honey.
We're creating.
Yeah, so give us a quick 10-minute overview of that, how spirituality and science are starting to really meld.
Okay, give me a second.
Oh, good.
So the story is exactly what you said. We are souls coming down, and it looks like a tether into this physical body that we have created, this biochemical body that we live in, and it's here on planet Earth that we get to do it, because planet Earth goes through time space, right? So we're born, we have a life, we exit at the end of it. So if you can just kind of feel the concept of your soul is still connected to the rest of your higher consciousness. And that's who we really are, is that higher consciousness. And we've chosen to take a piece of that and come down into this time-space dimension because we're co-creating with the universe right now. The universe is not creating without us. There aren't any answers beyond what we where we go with our philosophy and our concepts and our questions on the leading edge connected to consciousness. So when we can understand what that really means, it puts you into a place where you get to co-create with the universe on anything and everything that you want in this lifetime span as we're living through this age. And then when we exit with all that information and all of that that creation, and we've helped to expand the universe. The universe cannot expand without us. Because this is the platform. This is the platform of expansion. This and many others, but this is the platform. We're not lagging behind. We're not sitting here waiting for the new answer. We are creating the answers with the universe because the potential to anything is available now. So when we practice and we get connected and we do our meditations, little by little by little, we start understanding more and more and more of this. And then it becomes this really fun game of, what do I want to create today? You know, what do I want to pre-pave showing up in my experience next? So the science behind all that has a lot to do with quantum physics. And this goes back to the early 1900s, again, with all of the scientists that you had talked about earlier. And what they found was when you go really, really, really subatomic particle small, there is a magnetic attraction in that physical atom. Now, you have to remember that an atom, that atom is an energy. So everything physical in our world is actually built of atoms, which are always in motion. So we think solid items, you know, our solid things in our world are inert or inorganic, and it doesn't, you know, it's already here, so there's nothing energetic about it, but it's just the opposite.
It's
vibrating energy.
Wood is vibrating all the time. Yeah,
exactly. And it's something that we actually manifested from having the idea in our head. So somebody thought about a chair 100,000 years ago and had the image because they were connected. And as that person went through time space, the chair showed up because he knew what the image was in his head. So he created that. You know, that's just a very weird example. Right. I don't know why I even went there. But that's how everything comes into our experience. You know, we think, oh, the new technology and the new this and the new that. All of that is co-created with universal intelligence being in the space of potential for that. So so the science matches the spirituality. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Two different roads, two different philosophies, meaning the exact same thing.
What I think is amazing is like quantum physics, they didn't really define it till like 1908, 1909. But like the Fillmores, Ernest Holmes, Wallace Wattles, even the beginning Napoleon Hill, it started prior to that.
Oh, yeah.
So that information started before they even started defining that at a subatomic level, our thoughts actually create the energy that changes everything.
Exactly.
So I think it's amazing, not amazing, because the universe works exactly the way it should, that they both kind of started coming to the surface at the same time and started coming together. Now, a lot of scientists don't buy what you and I are selling. As far as that, we have so much power to manifest things. But man, there's so much evidence out there, you know, entanglement, non-locality. There's so much evidence.
Oh, yeah.
That we control with our thoughts and our feelings. Our feelings are a frequency. We can only broadcast on the same frequency that we receive on. That kind of things.
Right. Neuroplasticity, you know, keep recreating new channels in our brain all the time. You know, everybody thinks it's such a solid piece of equipment, but it's constantly in motion and constantly changing from our thoughts. So
20 years ago, neuroplasticity, you wouldn't even know what that word was. So there's so many of it, and there's so much. So somebody's thought of it, and now they've figured out a way to scientifically prove it.
Right.
With the brain, cellular level. Right. I love Dr. Bruce Lipton, you know, the biology of belief and how, you know, the environment our cells are in, which is just what we're feeling, creates everything. There's just so much there that has now validated,
What
Abraham teaches, what they were teaching, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah. So going back to bringing it down to fundamentals, what you said was really important about what you feel and what you think. Because in these physiological bodies, those are the two mechanisms that either tell us we're going down the path we want to go down, or we're going down the path that is resisting the thing that we're looking for. So when you have a thought, it automatically manifests into an emotion. And an emotion has a physiological effect in your body. Mm-hmm. You think a happy thought, you get a happy emotion. You think a bad thought, you get that bad emotion in your body. So when we stay in the moment and stay conscious to what we're thinking, that's the control mechanism. That's the thing that says, oh, okay, how about if I just talk this up? You know, say it till you're, how does the thing go?
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it.
Is that what it is? Yeah, something.
That's what it is. And there's something to that, because you keep telling your brain, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing. This is who I am and this is what I'm doing. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter, because you're creating the emotion that's creating the momentum behind the thought, which is producing the momentum towards the manifestation of what it is that you're looking for.
Because you put your body in a frequency, and whatever that frequency is, you get more of that.
Exactly.
You know, one thing I teach is we just pry open as many moments during the day as we possibly can, because we're on autopilot 95% of our day.
Right.
And it's just moment by moment. It doesn't mean that you have to do it for 23 hours a day. It's just moment by moment. If you can get a little happier in that moment, the momentum, right? I think Abraham says 68 seconds. If you can stay in one thought, which is 17 seconds, it leads to another one, 68 seconds. It literally changes the chemistry in your body. Everybody can do that a few times a day, you know, and that really changes the physiology of your body. It changes the frequency that we're on, the frequency that we get back.
You are right on it.
So do you try to explain this or teach this to your, their clients, patients?
No, I really don't.
Okay.
I also do coaching.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Yeah. So you do some coaching with this.
I do law of attraction based coaching, and I call it mentoring. It's askdrbuzz.com.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where I tell people to go if they really want to co-create with somebody like me. So
you do it online. I'm assuming you don't have to live in Palm Springs. Uh-huh. Okay.
No, do it online. I talk to people all over the world, an hour at a time. And I usually get people who are really up on their law of attraction and creating and manifesting in their lives, but then they get a little hiccup, or they need somebody else's energy in there to co-create, to get them over a block, or, start moving things forward.
Well, and it helps to have an objective person that said, have you thought about this? You've got this big boulder in front of you. Do you know that? So people that you attract are the ones that are already way far down the road is never ending, but they're on the same part of the road that you're on. They're on the same part of the journey that you're on.
Yeah. Well, they're usually conscious of how co-creating happens or manifesting happens. You know, they have at least that much knowledge. I'm usually not attracting too much the beginners. But sometimes every now and then somebody will say, hey, you know, I heard you on this show. I'm just curious. And then we take off, you know.
Good.
And, yeah.
You said something before about pre-paving the way to manifest experiences. And I know that's some of the stuff that Abraham talks about. How do people do that? So tell us in 50 words or less, tell us just an idea how you can manifest something just so they can start proving to themselves the power that they have. Tell us about the pre-paving real quick.
Sure. So the pre-paving is, how do I explain this? Okay, so manifesting itself, when you're happy and you're thinking about something that you really desire and you have a lot of energy behind it and you can think about it and love it and can't wait to see it, it's like planting a seed. So you're planting that little atom of energy, thought energy, and that immediately starts attracting more energy to it. It's just, this is what science has proven. So that thought energy in that atom starts collecting all the co-creative partners that need to be around for that to show up in a physical manifestation. So you're putting it out there. So I call that pre-paving because it's not going to happen right now, the second. It's going to happen somewhere down time, space, right? So either tonight, tomorrow, a week, a month, a year, just depending how big the desire is.
Well, the law of gestation says different things take different amount of time.
Exactly.
And to gestate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if I'm blocking the energy of it with doubt, I'm just putting it out further and further in the future. So pre-paving, this is what I did for this year, 2020. I knew for me, this is a really big year for me because I decided to honor my little contract I made with the universe to become the teacher now and to do workshops, to do coaching, to do mentoring, and to put myself out there. Because I really like my private life and, you know, I work with people all the time, but this is important information and people hear it from me differently than they hear it from somebody else, just like you.
I love it. And I love, there are people waiting for you to show up big
exactly,
time.
Exactly. Exactly.
They can't, other, you know, like I attract some people, but there's people waiting for you, Buzz.
To
really play big because nobody else is going to resonate with them like you do. So
exactly.
I'm hold your feet to fire on this one.
So the last 3 months before 2020, I really sat in my meditation a lot and said, okay, universe, I'm lining up with the energy that's going to support me on this journey. It's already all taken care of. I just am so excited. I talked myself into the excitement of how that's going to look and what I want that to look like.
And that's pre-paving.
And that's pre-paving.
Yes.
So I'm pre-paving. So I did that for several weeks. Regularly, I don't sit and do anything like on a daily basis, but every time I think about it, I'll spend a few minutes with it. You know, for me, that's what works. It's like, oh, that's right. I'm going to be doing this workshop and I'm going to sit. So I will get connected and say, and it's our emotion that's speaking to the universe. So it's not a lot of words at all. It's
the
just
feeling is the prayer. Whatever the feeling we're putting out, that's the prayer.
The feeling and the imagery in my head.
Uh-huh.
You know, we see imagery. When we talk, we see images. So for me, guided imagery is a big thing. So I do the imagery and I can see myself and I see myself being the speaker on the stage and just being available for people to really connect and co-create because it's such a fun thing to do. It's so much fun.
There's so much energy there. Yeah.
Oh, it is. And people, everybody gets something out of it. I get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. I learn every single time I do these things, these events. And now I've decided and I've made a pact with the universe that set me up, let the people find me, and I will put some energy into creating the workshops and the time and the space.
I love that. So, and here's another thing the universe is telling me to tell you. You need to have a show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
you are just a little mind reader because that's what's happening.
I am a little mind reader. Really? Really?
Yeah, that's what's happening.
I'm so excited.
That's part of my pre-paving. That's part of the plan and...
I'm so excited because there's a great platform. You reach a lot of people. It really makes you better, as well as you're sharing other things, but it makes you more organized. The universe is talking to you. I'm excited.
Right.
Woo-hoo.
Right. Yeah. So okay. I'll be as cool as you pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I don't know if you'll ever be as cool as me.
Well, kind of cool.
You're pretty cool on the cruise. Buzz, we're about ready to run out of time, and I'm so sad because I'm having
God.
A good time. I know.
Oh, my God. There's so much to cover and so little time.
Then I'm going to have you back. So when do you think your show is going to start?
Well, I see that coming around probably in about a month.
Okay, cool.
So
well,
I'm
when
talking
you
to
start,
Jules.
I want to have you back on so we can get
Perfect.
Everybody
yeah.
going with you.
Yeah.
And then
I want to turn the tables and interview you.
Oh, I would love to.
I'm a
talker, man. I'm a talker.
You and me both.
Okay, so right now they could go to askdrbuzz.com if they want to contact you.
Right.
I'm assuming there's a contact sheet on there to do mentoring, but then you're putting together, we need to go on the road together. We can do road shows.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes. Oh my
God,
we'd have so much fun. But you know, courses, all those kind of things. So I'm so excited. You have so much to offer.
Thank you. I adore you. You are just one of those people. You're so connected and so happy. And I just really appreciate you.
I loved you when I met you, and I'm so glad you're on my show.
Mutual.
And thank you
Mutual.
So much for being
You're
here
welcome.
Today.
Thanks for having me.
And we will be right back. And we are back. So how much fun was he? We should have been recording after we stopped talking to him because he and I had so much fun. He has so much energy to offer, and he is going to stand up and show up big and start teaching this because we are at a cusp. I think we all know that. We're at a cusp of consciousness in our world and our universe, and it's positive. And don't pay attention to what the news says. It's positive. And if we can create small ripples in our own little environment, it's going to be huge. And Dr. Buzz is standing up to do that. So I want to thank him for doing that. And I'm excited about his new platform. I'm excited that he agreed to be with me today. Wanted to remind you that my book, The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction, is available on Amazon. Also, my website, thelawyerofattraction.com, is there. It's got a great 7-day magic intention challenge. Sign up. You get 7 quick emails from me for 7 days. It's fun. It's quick. Really shows you when you decide to change an idea during the day, it can make a huge difference. So that's fun. I would also love for you to contact me at paula@lawyerofattraction.com. I have an amazing new program. It's called the Fast Path. It's for people that really want to step up their game and step into their lives. And it's transformational. I work with you one-on-one. We're in groups. It's a tribe. It's an energy. There are people out there. I'm telling you, you're thinking, should I do that? And I'm telling you right now, yes, you should do it. You should at least send me an email and let's talk. Because there are people that I know that are waiting for this, and I know they're waiting to step up, and I'm stepping up, and I'm here. Just want to tell you how happy I am. It's been about 18 months since I started this journey at the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Very proud and honored to be with you and to be able to share this information. And as Ram Dass always said, and bless his little heart, he's in heaven up there walking his home. He always says we are all just walking each other home. And we are, and I'm honored to be on this journey with you. So till next time, this is Paula Kid Casey, and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining Paula Kid Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.